Thank you, Bill Curry Ford, for 61 years serving Tampa, family-owned, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Thank you for presenting all of Ira Kaufman's work at joebucksfan.com. And thank you for giving personal service, Sean Sullivan, general manager of Bill Curry Ford, to every Bucks fan who calls you, walks in the door, and needs help.
I've been thinking about being Jason Light for a day.
My lobster's coming out.
Last call for an awesome draft time with Bucks fans and Ira Kaufman and special guests and Joe Bucks fan at Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater, 49th Street, just south of Ulmerton Road. Gorgeous, new, beautiful outdoor patio, 3,000 square feet, great TVs, great sound, great Wi-Fi, fully covered, and the indoor tap room. Florida's best craft beer is on tap. So many great beers. BigStormBrewery.com. You can check them all out. And the food is a plus. It's going to be a great time. We'll be there all night with lots of giveaways, Bucks gear, and two $300 Amex gift cards, courtesy of Florida's Elite Restoration. They'll be given out one around 9 o'clock as a drawing, maybe 9:15, and the other one will be part of a Pick the Pick contest. But great time ahead. And if you can't go, of course, the thousands of listeners can't all attend. Buy Big Storm beer and enjoy it during the draft. Big Storm beer, the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. Find it at BigStormBrewery.com. Use their storm tracker. You'll find it near you. Buccaneers fans, draft week is here. How exciting is this on the Ira Kaufman podcast, presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford. The sage of Tampa Bay sports is here. The Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, Uncle Ira himself, the custodian of Canton, the king of Newport Richie, Ira Lee. This is it. The draft is here. And you know what? For a lot of fans, it's just not that exciting because they're still on that Super Bowl high. As Lee likes to say, they're still getting drunk every other Saturday, slobbering all over themselves for a Super Bowl victory. But Ira, I'm going to call you on this right away. You think this is a crappy draft. And we're going to talk about that with Sean Sullivan, our draft guru from Bill Curry Ford, stepping in for an awesome mock draft a little bit later. But you don't like this draft, Ira.
Well, that's my sense of it in terms of super blue chip players. I think there's 10 or 12 where normally there might be 15 to 20. They say that the meat of the draft is in the second round, third round. Well, you know what that tells me? It's a crappy draft. That's the way I look at it. I've been thinking about being Jason Light for a day. I mean, he's in a position I think very few NFL GMs have ever been in terms of bringing back 22 players from a hell of a football team. Boy, Lee, that gives you so much freedom, unencumbered, going into a draft. He can do any damn thing he wants, Lee. And a year ago, he's going in saying, I got to get a right tackle. Dotson's gone. I got to get a safety. We don't have a ball hawk. It's all changed, Lee. It's all changed.
Who's the last GM that was in his position? Wasn't it Dan Rooney? Wasn't Dan Rooney the GM, or was Art Rooney Jr.?
Oh, 79? Yeah.
Was Art Rooney Jr. still the GM at the time, and he got muscled out by Dan Rooney?
That's 40 years ago. Lee.
Yeah.
You remember,
40 years
ago. Ira, you remember 79, your 40th birthday party.
I just think the Bucks can do whatever the hell they want on Thursday night, and I don't think Sean Sullivan can get mad at him. I don't think they can screw this up.
1979, wasn't it your rookie year at UPI?
1979 was the most momentous year of my life, Sean. Started covering the NFL Giants. First job, and met my wife. Now,
Ira, you can't talk to Sean yet. He's working with customers here at Bill Curry Ford. You can't be screaming across the room.
No, Sean's in the bullpen. He's good.
Yeah,
we're going to introduce him in a few minutes.
He's a ghost. He's a ghost over there.
But no, I know that was your first year on the beat, and I think it was 75?
76.
76 was your first year with UPI. But you know what?
When I made $162 a week over there, and I was happy to get it. Happy to get it.
You know what, Ira? When I hear you say crappy draft, that excited me. Because when you're at the head of the pack, right, like the Bucks are, and you got everybody coming back, you want a crappy draft.
I like that.
So people
can't
catch up to you as fast.
I like that.
I'm in the suspense and drama. Every draft has suspense and drama. Like when New England picked that stiff Sims, defensive end from Texas, if I remember right, one of the worst number one overall picks in the history of the game. There was still drama. There was still suspense. You were still on the edge of your seat.
I'll tell you, you know, some drama that they showed the other day, they love to show this. The 95 draft, and I guess it was in New York, probably at the Sheraton or whatever. Yep. And there comes those Jet fans. I think they were at number 9. and Sapp's on the board. We want Sapp. We want
Sapp. Oh, they're
being
wild.
And then all of a sudden, Tagliabue goes to the podium and says, with the ninth pick in the 1995 draft, the New York Jets take the freaking tight end, Kyle Brady. I felt bad for Brady. They're booing the hell out of the guy. And they passed up Warren Sapp. That's drama, baby.
Well, you know what? We all remember the 2010 draft, which was supposed to be the greatest draft in the history of drafts because of the lockout coming up. And the Bucks choked it away with, you know, I don't even want to say the names out loud. They blew it.
So that was the year after Josh Freeman.
Yeah,
it was
Trent Dilfer over the weekend. Now, over the weekend was the anniversary of, you know, the Bill Tobin, Mel Kiper spat.
Yes.
Which was fantastic. Turned out Kiper was right and wrong because Dilfer was horrible. What do you make of the comments Dilfer told the Ringer? Quick history. He told the Colts, or his agent did, don't draft me. You draft me, I'm sitting out. I will never play for you. And so over the weekend, not over the weekend, but recently, he confessed on the Ringer on Ryan Russillo's podcast, I regret not being drafted by the Colts. I would have played a long time with Marshall Faulk. To me, that's spitting in the face of a hell of a lot of his teammates. It wasn't like he didn't have running backs when he was here. He had Eric Rett, 1,000-yard rusher, both his first 2 years with the Bucks. Then he had Allstott. Then he had Dunn. And he's like, man, I wish the Colts would have picked me. I would have been Marshall Faulk for years. If I was his teammates, I said, don't even come back to Tampa again. Go to hell.
You know, I don't have a lot of sympathy for Dilfer. First of all, he played for one of the historic defenses of NFL history with the 2000 Ravens, one of the top ones, on a par with the 2002 Bucks. I mean, you could pick between them. Some people would pick the Ravens, some people Bucks. He also played on a hell of a defense with the Bucks. You know, they drafted Sapp. They drafted Brooks, and he was there. And what did they tell Dilfer every Sunday? Go score 17 points. We'll take care of the rest. Can you imagine a quarterback going out with no pressure like that?
What do you think?
Put up a couple of touchdowns, Dilfer. I got no sympathy for that, man.
What do you think about what went through Sapp's mind reading that? You know he heard it. And Sapp's on there. I made excuse after excuse for this SOB week after week, and now he's crying that he wasn't drafted by the Colts.
He got beat out by Sean King. Case closed.
Ira, you know, Thursday, you will be at our draft party, Big Storm Beer. Big Storm Brewing Company, Clearwater, 3,000 square feet outdoors, lots of outdoor seating, 30-plus tables. We've got all kinds of giveaways, and we heard earlier about our $300 Amex gift card giveaway.
Ruben's reintroduced to the menu. Ruben.
I'm sure it's going to be the special of the night as we set up. Jerseys, we've got all kinds of things. We've got those two Amex gift cards, $300 each from Florida's Elite Restoration. And just an exciting time ahead, Ira. Now, you're going to be there at 7 o'clock. I don't want any confusion, Ira. You've already been paid.
You want me at 7? I'll be there at 7.
So this is an annual tradition. A lot of people like to buy you drinks, Ira.
I'm on a diet. Just want to get that out there.
Okay. For the meaningless record, Ira's on a diet.
My wife has absolutely no confidence I'm sticking to this diet.
But, you know,
and she's a wise woman.
Big Storm makes its own whiskey now, Ira. Okay? And fans are going to see
it and
taste it.
You want to get me plastered over here?
Well, there's always the annual over-under on how many shots you're going to do because people like to buy you shots. So I remember in previous years we've looked at 4.5 as an over-under. Maybe we're looking at 3 this year. What's the over-under on Irish shots? Given that the Bucks might not pick until 12:30
in the
morning.
My advice is bet the under. Bet the under, Lee.
What's the over-under?
Three.
All right, 3.5.
All right, 3.5.
3.5.
3.5.
All right, 3.5 shots, Lee.
And the over-under on Sean Sullivan matching the player with the team in the opening round is 9.
So in Sean's mock,
and that's a big number.
So in Sean's mock draft that we're going to hear, you think he's going to hit 9 out of 32?
And that's a good number.
That's a fantastic number as mock draft.
I think Sean Sullivan can hit 9.
Well, Sean's our draft guru. Everybody knows him. They've heard him on the podcast before, and he's going to be stepping in now that you stop screaming at him walking around the dealership. The man's working.
I hit 7 with the Tribune. I started doing cartwheels in the media room. Cummings said, what the hell are you doing, Kaufman? What'd you do, hit the lottery? I got 7 out of 32, Roy. Roy goes, that stinks.
That's pretty good. Well, I'm interested to hear Sean's mock draft. Ira, anything in the world of the Bucks that grabbed you this week, that pulled you in, you know, thinking about where they are? You know, last time we talked about Antonio Brown, it looks like he's not going to sign before the draft. And anything at all?
I'm sticking with our information about Antonio Brown. I believe he's going to be a Buccaneer. I think Blaine Gabbert will end up being a Buccaneer, much to my chagrin. I'm no Blaine Gabbert guy, but who am I to argue with Bruce Arians? He wants Gabbert. The Bucs are going to get Gabbert. One day, they're going to start thinking about Brady's successor. But I agree with Lee. Now's not the time.
All right. Well, before we roll in, Sean, Ira, you can go drink something, whatever you're doing there. I think the Bucs are going to trade up. Just want to throw that out there. I'm going to ask Lee for his prediction on what he thinks the Bucs are going to do. Of course, we read about yours, Ira, and you said it last podcast. I think they're going to trade up. I think they're going to go after this. I think Light tipped it off by saying the lower round picks this year. I don't know. Maybe he throws in a 5, a 7 next year, and who knows what to move up. I think they're going to trade up and get an edge rusher. Lee, you have any firm thoughts before we get to Sean?
I don't doubt that Light's going to trade up, but I don't know about the first round. I think he's going to trade up in the second round. Matter of fact, it wouldn't surprise me if he trades back in the second round to get ammo.
First round.
No.
Oh.
I would not be surprised if he trades back into the second round. You know, he's got number 32 pick. I would not be surprised if he trades back to pick up maybe some ammo to jump up to, like, number, 45, 50 to get another player. Because from what I understand, from number 35 to, like, 52, 54, I heard that's a sweet spot of the draft. So it would not shock me if Light trades up, like, you know, 64? Trades up from 64 to 45. But he trades back also in the 32 to 35 to try to pick up some ammo so he can, you know, collect some draft picks in the second round.
If Sean Sullivan nails that first Buck draft pick, whether it comes in the first round or second round, we got to get him a bottle of champagne over at
Big Storm Whiskey.
Big Storm Whiskey.
I think we might have to disqualify Sean from participating. I haven't discussed that with our Rules Committee Chief, Ira. But that second gift card, the $300 from Florida's Elite Restoration, the Amex card, that's going to be a pick-the-pick contest. Ooh. So we're going to put it out there for fans in attendance.
Well, we can't have Sullivan in that thing.
I don't know. He knows too much. He knows too much. He's too smart for that. All right, Ira, look, we are fired up for the draft, trading up, I don't know, trading back. I do know, though, that it's possible. One little conspiracy, Ira, and we can talk about this the next time. You know, Lee and I have seen some teams are doing news conferences at their facilities.
I saw that.
The Bucs are not. They're not doing anything on draft night, which could lead a conspiracy theorist like myself to believe that they plan on trading out of the first round and they don't want to schlep all of us clowns out there for free food.
I think you're reading too much into it.
All right, get out of here. Let's get to the star of the show. Hey, Bucks fans, before we get to the big, fun, exciting mock draft and some more Bucks talk in general, I want to tell everybody, if you have a disaster in your home, water, fire, mold, flood, whatever it may be, especially mold, call Florida's Elite Restoration immediately. That's your first phone call to get a free assessment of what's happening if you have a problem. It's an emergency and you need someone you can trust to assess what's happening, maybe help you with your insurance company if you need it, fix the problem, get someone to fix it, whatever it might be. Florida's Elite Restoration is your company. They work with some of the biggest and best property managers in the Bay Area. If you manage a property, call Florida's Elite Restoration, the website where you can see everything they do, Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Thanks to Josh Martin and his team for giving $200-$300 Amex gift cards that we will give away at our draft party Thursday night. Fired up. One is going to be by drawing. One is going to be a pick the pick contest. Thank you, Florida's Elite Restoration. All right, Ira, here he is as promised. And the fun part, like we said, we're sitting right here at the Bill Curry Ford showroom. Our draft guru, take off all that Bill Curry Ford gear, Sean Sullivan. Right now, you are back as draft guru. Anyone who hasn't listened to you before, I don't think you need a reintroduction. The loyal, dedicated Ira Kaufman podcast fans know who you are from your last draft podcast, which anybody can go back to listen to. It's at Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Google Podcasts, Podcast Addict. 1,300 plus subscribers there, Ira. You dominate on that platform locally, as you do on all of them. But Sean, thanks for doing this. We appreciate it. I know you enjoy having Ira in the showroom here. People are grabbing him. They're touching him. They're trying to stuff food in his face. But Sean,
so
thanks.
True.
We are fired up for your mock draft.
Couldn't be more fired up than I am. I just wanted to talk about the mock draft is I get asked a lot of times, well, why are the mock drafts important? I have a lot of people that say, you know, you either like a mock draft or you don't. It's never right. So it gives you the opportunity to learn the players, the real players in that are going on in the NFL draft. And I think that's the important. It's not about being right on a mock draft. It's getting to know all the players. Who's playing? Who's going to be in the realm of the first 32 picks? And then when you get to watch them play this year, you know who they are. You've studied them. You've studied the film. You know what school they went to. So that's what's exciting to me. It's not always...
It's hard to match them up with the teams. That's the hard part.
It is. You can get in the general idea like how Vegas does it, where they're going to say they're going to take an offensive player for, you know, or a defensive player.
You can bet on that?
And you can bet on it. You can absolutely bet on it. And you can get really good at it. What you can't predict is draft trades. There's always the Bears that come in and do something silly. There's always somebody that's going to come in and screw up your order. You'll get five in a row, and you're like, man, I'm on a roll. And then someone will trade up for a player you don't even have in the first round, you know, that which happens every year.
And but it rarely works. It rarely works.
Yes, you can't reach in the draft. And I think we've done a good job of taking players that not only fit a position for us but also have contributed to our Super Bowl run. And I say Super Bowl run as in this is a five-year window. I would like to have a small dynasty, three, four, five years, something like that.
That's
of Super
a
Bowl runs.
Dynasty, Sean.
It is. Why not? Why not aim for the big time?
All right, Sean. Look, not about being right. What is this? Come on, we're expecting accuracy from the Sean Sullivan mock draft. No disclaimers with the mock draft.
We got people out there writing this stuff down over here, is but
exactly.
They're
going
to come back in a week.
I have
and check
to answer
on this.
Emails, guys, when somebody says, "Why a mock draft?" Well,
and,
that's why.
And Lee is going to educate you later, Ira, that you can bet on anything. You got to get up to speed. Florida's going to have gambling soon. You can bet on anything.
I think Lee's betting right now. So we're ready. So Jacksonville's on the clock. All right, Jacksonville's going to do what everybody knows. They're going to take Trevor Lawrence, QB, Clemson, best player in the draft, best QB. We don't have to spend a lot of time on this guy. He's thrown for 30 touchdowns, 36 touchdowns, 24 touchdowns. He's always been over 60% completion. He was more than a two-year starter. His accuracy is fantastic. His completion percentage, he can also run. So Bill Parcells would sign off wherever he is. He's going Trevor Lawrence, number one overall pick with Urban Meyer. In the
Jacksonville Jaguars. Is he as good a prospect as Andrew Luck?
He's being compared to an NFL ready as Andrew Luck. I personally think that Andrew Luck was a better prospect. I think that Andrew Luck was the best prospect since Peyton Manning. So okay. I think it's very difficult to make these comparisons because
that's a high standard.
It's
though.
Such a high standard. And you know, the interesting thing is if they had gotten an offensive line for this guy, he'd still be playing.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's several teams right now, like the Burrow and Cincinnati Bengals, who are wishing they had an offensive
well,
line
look what
right now.
The Chiefs just did, right, Sean?
They rebuilt the everything, yeah. When, after the Bucs just waxed them in the Super Bowl, I would try to rebuild my team, too.
Number two.
The Jets. So we don't have to have a long conversation about the Jets. The Jets are rebuilding.
Number three.
So funny. Zach Wilson, QB, BYU. I'm not super high on Zach Wilson just because of the fact that he hasn't started a lot of games. I think he had the best offensive line in football. He very rarely got touched. His throws under pressure, he didn't have many to really get an NFL test. His NFL test is coming pretty soon. Very accurate with the ball, very coachable guy, has the strongest arm in the draft according to the NFL Combine. Next, it's the Jets, right?
I'm not sure he's a better prospect than Sam Darnold was. Are you?
I actually like Sam Darnold because he started more games for a longer period of time. There's more to watch and see how his footwork is, how he reads defenses. Does he go through more than one progression?
I think they're going to regret giving up on Darnold. I do. I think they're going to regret
it. I think Donald's got a very coachable team in Carolina.
Right, keep it moving, Steve.
I'm writing that down, Ira. Regretting giving
there
up
you
on
go.
Darnold.
There
Ira's
you
still
go.
Mad because we didn't trade for Sam Darnold.
All right, number three, baby.
This one's going to shock the world here, as I don't think that the 49ers traded three number one picks for Mac Jones out of Alabama. I think that Mac Jones' family is friends with the San Francisco Brass, and I think that they tried to elevate his draft status. But Mac Jones came into his pro day out of shape, and he had a DUI in the offseason, which I just don't think that is a way to start out a top five
so
pick.
John Lynch turns to?
Justin Fields. If you're going to trade three draft picks, three number one picks, trade for a generational talent, and not to mention the fact that Kyle Shanahan coached Fields in an all-star game and raved about him and said this is the future of the NFL, and now he has a chance to draft
that's
him.
An early curveball over there, Mr. Sullivan.
Do you agree, Ira? You think that's the case? Justin Fields at number three?
You know what? I trust our man Sullivan here. He
number
knows
four.
Cars and he knows the draft.
Number four, Falcons find their replacement for Matt Ryan in a project quarterback. I think that how often is Atlanta going to pick in the top five? And I think if you're picking in the top five in the NFL, you have to get that lock up that quarterback. And
you haven't given us the name.
Trey Lance. Trey Lance goes number four to Atlanta. Monster arm, ball explodes off of him. He came from a run-oriented offense, which means he only threw 13, 14 passes a game. He threw zero interceptions, guys, in his entire NFL career, or his college career.
Doesn't have to play right away.
Doesn't have to play. Can sit by and learn from Matt Ryan, but I think that Atlanta is in the rebuild. I think they're rebuilding this year. They redid his contract for a two-year deal, but it's a one-year deal, really, because they have the option to cut him after the second year.
New coach, offensive coordinator.
Yes. Right,
before we go to number five, I'm going to go on the record here, Ira. This is an on-the-record kind of podcast. Atlanta does not keep the pick, or they do not draft a quarterback. I think it's a big smokescreen, and your good buddy, dear Orlando Ledbetter, feels the same way.
Well, since you said it, I have to disagree with you, of course. Because Sean knows the way this podcast works. But I'm sticking with Mr. Sullivan. I think he's on to something over here. And the idea is Atlanta doesn't want to be picking in the top five anymore. Here's their chance. And get Matt Ryan's replacement.
I don't think you can pass on a quarterback that you think could be your quarterback for the next 20 years.
So meanwhile, Mac Jones is falling over here, Sean.
Yeah, Mac Jones is falling. I don't like how he came into his pro day, and I think that you come in out of shape. It just shows me a lot about your character.
That's right, Ira. What are you doing?
Bengals at number five. So Bengals could go a lot of places here, but in the offseason they signed Ira's favorite defensive end, Trey Hendrickson from New Orleans. Ira's still going to have to tell
Arian says he's a much better player than people give him credit for. Take that, Sullivan.
Well, good. No one will ever hear from him again. He's with the Bengals.
There you go.
So we don't have to ever listen to you talk about Trey Hendrickson.
Are they going tackle or are they going receiver? What are they doing?
They're going receiver, and I'm going to tell you why. Is the depth at offensive tackle is pretty good in this draft. If you had to pick a tackle in the second, third, fourth round, I think that they're going to get some
more depth
players.
Than receiver depth?
I think they're pretty equal. I think out of those two positions, I like wide receiver depth, and I like offensive tackle, offensive guard. There's a lot of guys that can play. I think you cannot pass up Ja'Marr Chase if you're the Bengals. You have T. Higgins, and you have Boyd there right now. You add Ja'Marr Chase to that instant camaraderie with Burrow. I think that the fact that he's going to step right in and know who his quarterback is, he's going to know the nuances of the game.
But you like protecting Burrow also.
They did a pretty good job of reshuffling the offensive line. I think they're going to get him offensive line help. The two tackles here would be interesting, but I can get Ja'Marr Chase, who is an amazing talent right now, and get a starting tackle.
Serviceable
tackle. It doesn't work the other way around.
Okay.
I don't think you take Penel Sewell here and you go down and try to get a top wide receiver in the second round. It's not going to happen. Dolphins. I love the Dolphins, what they're doing. I think they've done a terrific job, other than drafting Tua, which, if you remember, last year I was on this podcast and I said, Justin Herbert, how could you pass the guy up?
And we thought you were crazy.
Yes, and he had a better season than Dan Marino.
They're doing what I think the Bucs should do, Sullivan, and we'll talk about that later. Stockpile picks. The Dolphins have done a good job of it.
I think they go with one of the best offensive players in this draft, Kyle Pitts. I think that's going to help Tua develop really quickly, is to have that instant tight end who can get open right off the line of scrimmage. I mean, Kyle Pitts would basically be the top wide receiver drafted if he was a wide receiver.
Lee, give me a number seven.
The Lions can go all kinds of different places. I'm going to go with Michael Lombardi's theory. Look at who their general manager is. Spielman. He's a throwback, a linebacker. He always talks about physicality. He always talks about toughness. He always talks about domination. Your buddy at left tackle.
He's still out there.
Boom.
He is. Penei Sewell is who you think the Lions are drafting?
Yeah.
I think that's interesting. I think that wouldn't be a bad pick at all. I have them taking Jalen Waddle out of Alabama. They traded for golf in the offseason. They literally have no wide receivers. Like, you might as well just have me out there throwing the ball, right?
But they're famous for reaching for wide receivers.
They're not reaching for Jalen Waddle at seven.
By the way, Sean, I got a question. Go back to Atlanta for a second.
Okay.
Why Ja'Marr Chase over Pitts? Why?
Are you talking about for the Bengals?
Whoever the wide receiver.
The reason why is because of Burrow's relationship with Ja'Marr Chase. As you know, they set several college football records that have been around for a long time.
Pitts would not be a bad pick.
I don't think he'd be a bad pick at all. I just think in that instance, you go with the guy that's familiar. You go with the guy that can start from day one with not having – they don't even have to start a relationship. Remember Brady talked about for half the season he still wasn't in step with his receivers. Imagine being able to go day one knowing the guy, knowing his tendencies, knowing how he's going to catch the ball. I think that that's fantastic.
Number eight.
The Panthers are just a mess. And it's nice because they're in our division. So it's so nice to see a team just terrible.
That owner is jittery. He's jittery. He wants to make a splash.
He said he was going to come in patient, right? He was going to be patient. He ain't patient. I think Penei Sewell goes off the clock here to Carolina. I think they get a left tackle to replace Jordan Gross. As you know, they have not been able to replace Jordan Gross since he retired. They've had really a lot of trouble on the left side of that line. I think that now with the 330-pound 19-year-old, he immediately steps in, and he's their left tackle of the
future.
That's
a value pick.
Right, and then you immediately get Sam some protection, which he didn't have for the Jets. I mean, the only way he was going to get protection with the Jets is if he carried a firearm, because the Jets couldn't protect him.
I thought you were going to say condoms for a minute.
No.
That's a good pick for Carolina.
It's a tremendous pick. You're getting a 19-year-old who will have his second contract when he's 25.
Would they look at Mac Jones at that point?
Not with Sam Donald trade. You traded three picks for Sam
That's
Donald.
That's the way I feel.
Broncos at number nine. Getting back to Lee's philosophy, I love the defensive mind of the Broncos. I think that typically they would go with Micah Parsons out of Penn State because he's by far the best linebacker in this draft. But he also had the hazing scandal, and I think there's a lot of off-field concerns. So I think they go with the safer pick, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, out of Notre Dame here. Yeah. I think that he goes this high, and I think because he's an outstanding coverage linebacker who can also blitz.
Parsons is an edge guy, right?
Parsons is a lot. He plays both. He can rush the passer. He can stop the run. He can tackle for loss. He can do coverage. He's amazing. I'm just saying I don't think the Broncos go with the guy with off-the-field problems.
Broncos are on the verge of a playoff team.
Yes.
Drew Lock's an imbecile. They pass on Mac Jones.
They pass on Mac Jones.
So they're going to try to make another run with a guy who's dumb enough to dump a billionaire, who's going to own an NFL team, who's a beauty queen,
I think he gets one more year. Remember, Elway picked him. I think that he gets another year to prove himself with a healthy team. If you remember, Denver was a walking wounded last year. I think they get a chance to bounce back. The Cowboys at 10, my CFO's favorite team in the whole world, the Dallas Cowboys.
Don't they
Joe
have
Cotillo.
To go defense? The
Cowboys have to go defense. Their offense is going to be spectacular this year with CeeDee Lamb and getting Dak healthy, and you're going to have your running backs. I think they have a phenomenal offense. They could go offensive line or defense, but I think you have to go defense here. I think they go with Patrick Surtain II, which out of Alabama, he's ready. He's ready to step right in and take over this defense. So I think that he's going to be terrific. I think his dad has connections with the Dallas Cowboys. I think this is an easy pick for Dallas. I think that Vegas also said that there's a high probability that he goes at 10 to the Cowboys.
A couple things for the listeners, Sean. First, I want to make a note that we're not playing games of trading down and
no trades.
Owusu-Koramoah, that's somebody Denver might want to trade down for if they thought they could get him at 15.
Yes.
But for the sake of this draft, we're sticking with that. So it's not like you don't believe in trades. We're just
keeping a format.
Ira was very strict with the format. Yes. You know how he is. So that's how that goes.
Yes, because I think that Denver could trade down. I think that the Lions are a trade down candidate.
Sure. Well, my point is we're not going there with this draft.
Nope, I'm just picking players for teams that I think will fit. Patrick Surtain had 1,536 career snaps in college football over the last 3 years. That's the most in college football. Wow.
And Ira had 1,536 snacks last year.
Yes.
But at number 11, Sean, I want to draft the Ford Bronco. Can you tell us 45 seconds on the new Ford Bronco? That looks incredible out there.
Yes, the Bronco Sport is the one that we have available right now, which is the comparison is the Jeep Compass size.
My wife will be in tomorrow. Go ahead.
Yes, your wife will be in tomorrow. Yes. So it has amazing attributes. They're all standard four-wheel drive. They are going to be the top horsepower in their class. They have a terrific seating configuration. I love the headroom. I love the technology. You know, Ford has led the industry in technology with their MyTouch system. So they have the new Sync 4 system. Basically, the car doesn't drive itself, but it does everything but. And I personally don't want a car that drives itself. That's just my personal. I'm only in the car business, guys. Don't buy self-driving cars. All right, but it does. It integrates well with the Apple phones for the Apple technology. 3 out of 4 people have an Apple phone, so it works very, very well with that. Plus, it's one of the best looking vehicles we've ever ever designed from Ford. Now, the new Broncos that come out starting on June 17th are the full-size Broncos. There's a four-door, a two-door that are coming out. And those are the most beautiful designed vehicles. And I think even for someone who does not get excited about cars, which would be this guy, I was blown away with the design.
So this weekend, after the Bucks draft, Travis Etienne, people can come to Bill Curry Ford, ask for you on Saturday, and walk out with a Broncos Sport.
They can always come in and ask for me. You know, I really do love talking to customers.
And it's a fun ride, right, Sean?
It's a fun ride. Anything that's standard four-wheel drive is a fun ride. You know that's going to be. Moving on to the Giants, number 11. The Giants have to go offensive line. They signed Kenny Golladay in the offseason. So typically a lot of people have given them a wide receiver. I don't know why you'd spend all this money, $72 million on Golladay, and go with another receiver here. So
they still have Shepard, right?
They still have Shepard, and they have Darius Slayton, as you know, was their top guy last year. And then they have their Project Ingram at tight end.
That's right.
We'll see. Not that I pay a lot of attention to the Giants, but I'm forced to because the media does. We're going to find out if they
Well, they drafted Thomas.
They did.
And he was a little shaky.
And the Giants have two contracts ending on the offensive line at the end of this year. So I have them taking Rashawn Slater, offensive tackle, Northwestern. He's rated the second-best tackle. It's a huge upgrade.
Play left with Thomas, play
He'd
right.
He'd play on the right.
Thomas would.
But you know what they're going to do is they trained him all last year on the left. So who knows? It's the Giants. Okay? So they drafted a Duke quarterback, and they're going to try to make it work. So
Sean, real quick.
Yes,
I know
ahead.
You're a big fan of Big Ten offensive linemen. Wisconsin, you know,
Iowa.
Iowa, the Corn Feds. Does that play into your pick here with a Northwestern tackle?
It does. I think that they just need to take the best available tackle on the board. And Penei Sewell, who I think is the best. Some people have put Rashawn Slater as the better tackle. I don't think he's the better tackle. But these guys are instant starters. At this number, if you pick a guy at number 11, he better start and take up 16 games for you.
If you're trying to get Sullivan to say Slater's going to be better than Tristan Wirfs, that
ain't going
to
happen.
That ain't going to happen.
So
Sean and I talk often. You mentioned Ohio State offensive lineman, Iowa, Wisconsin. Sean is all over them,
Of course. It's the coaching. They're just like professional coaches when it comes to offensive line. Jason Light's the expert. I mean, everyone can say he's, you know, that they're an expert. Jason Light's an expert. The guy found several starters at small schools that we would never have looked at. He signed a free agent in Jensen, who has just been the anchor as a center.
Found a guy at Hobart.
To be clear, you know, you're a big fan of Big Ten offensive linemen.
Yes.
You're a hardcore Gators fan.
You're a hardcore Gators fan, yes. Not Florida State. A lot of the Joe Bucks fans, writers have said, I'm a homer for Florida State. No,
you want to burn that stadium down up there, don't you?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan. But I am a fan of some of their players, which, as you know, this was a whole Dalvin Cook situation where I really wanted Dalvin Cook.
Yes. And the defensive end.
Yes, that's correct. Brian Burns, who went to, by the way, who might have been involved in the trade for Deshaun Watson, which would have been interesting. That they asked for him, and number one, there's a reason why they asked for him, guys. He's a pass rusher. So at number 12 is the Eagles. I don't want to spend any time on the Eagles. I hate the Eagles.
All right, who's the pick? I'm writing it down. Number 12.
So it's Devontae Smith out of Alabama. I think they go wide receiver.
They're a mess. Sure.
Wide receiver,
mess.
Eagles at number 12.
Hope they lose every game.
Just to clarify for the readers, Ira, you were not talking about Russell Shepard of the Giants. You were talking about Sterling Shepard. Yeah, Russell Shepard still a free agent. You never know, Sage. You never know.
Sean, quick, do you ding Devonta Smith for being 170 pounds? People are going crazy.
No, I don't.
The guy gets open, he doesn't drop a ball.
Yeah, he played at a big-time program. He played against NFL-ready players, and he dominated them. It wasn't like he played at what was the Appalachian State where we
Dexter
drafted
Jackson.
Dexter Jackson.
Do you have to remind Buck fans of that?
And I want to go on
the
record. I want to go on record to say that he was the worst Bucks draft pick ever, and that's saying a lot. And I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you why I think he was the worst Buck pick ever. It was because he was a wide receiver and he never caught a pass in the NFL.
He never had a target, Sean.
He never caught a pass. That was your only job. Your only job is to catch a pass.
That's like one of your salesmen after 2 years doesn't have a sale, Sean.
Guys,
that's not
true.
Guys, it's worse than that. He was never thrown a pass.
All right, let's get on to 13, the Chargers. So
I think they're a talented team, Sean.
I think they are. I think they're ready to win. I think they have one of the best up-and-coming quarterbacks in the league. I think that he's going to put it a show on again this year. I think they go with Christian Darrisaw. He's an offensive tackle at Virginia Tech. That offensive line's a mess for
San
Diego.
That's the third tackle off the board.
Third tackle off the board. That team is a mess offensive on the offensive line. If they can get that fixed, and Justin was throwing off his – if you remember, we were in his face.
Yes.
In his face all the whole game, and all he did was complete passes on us. The ball comes out fast. It's accurate. Oh, I just love that guy. On to the Vikings.
14.
Yeah, the Vikings are an easy one. The Vikings are going to draft their first edge player in a long time. The head coach came out and said, you know, I have the offense I want. The defense has really let me down. I'm a defensive coach. I think he's going to go with Kuti Pay out of Michigan. I think that he is going to – they're going to see him as the best potential edge in this draft.
Because they haven't had a rush since Everson Griffin went AWOL.
And yeah, speaking of Everson Griffin, he was their last first-round pick as an edge. Yeah. Kuti Pay, 6'4", 277. He had a 6.5 sub-3 cone, which is – just for you guys who like that kind of stuff, which I do, puts him in the top one percentile at his position.
Somebody's got to – pressure Aaron Rodgers if you're a Viking fan. That's what it's about.
Yeah, and the Vikings signed Patrick Peterson in the offseason, so a lot of people had him going corner. I think because they signed Patrick Peterson, they take the best edge off the board at 14.
Sean, you say three cone to Ira. He's thinking Baskin Robbins. Who's up for 15? Number 15.
So it's the Patriots.
Steve,
the guy,
you're in
so
red form
was
today,
just
baby.
Talking to me about Patriots. This is so funny. So the Patriots get this. They spent more money on free agents than any team in NFL history in an offseason. Bill Belichick.
Very atypical. Not typical of the Patriots.
It would be like
that.
The Packers leading the NFL in free agency. It's just a strange thing.
But who's under center, Sean? Who's under center?
I want you to listen to this for 1 second. They signed Hunter Henry. They signed Juni Smith, right? Tight end. They have $90 million invested in those two players just at dual tight ends. They signed Matt Judge, Judon, as an edge. They signed Nelson Aguilar as a wide receiver. They signed Jalen Mills, safety, and they signed Kendrick Bourne from the 49ers, wide receiver. So I think this is where Mac Jones lands. I think that whether the Patriots get him at 15 or whether they trade up in the top 10 to get him, I think he has Patriots written all over him. You've seen the Brady comparisons. I don't see the Brady comparisons other than the fact that he gets the ball out in less than 2.1 seconds.
Smart.
He's smart. He's cerebral. He doesn't have a lot of athletic talent, and I know we're going to talk about Brady and Montana. It's almost a very similar comparison. He's a winner. He completed over 70% of his passes, which is phenomenal. In his pro day, it worried me. He missed 6 open receivers on a pro day. The ball should never touch the ground. It bothered me that he was missing wide open receivers, but that's for someone else to deal with. Like Bill Belichick can deal with
it. So he falls into Belichick's
lap. I think he falls to the middle of the first round, or the Patriots trade up and get him with the Lions or something like that. But I think he's definitely a Patriot. 16 is the Cardinals. I think the Cardinals, because Patrick Peterson is gone, what do you think they do? They go corner. They go J.C. Horn, the cornerback out of South Carolina. He might be the best corner in the draft for man coverage. He's going to be a press corner. I think that he fits right into what they're doing. His 40-yard dash was 4.39. I have to point that out. That's extremely fast.
That's Hargraves, baby.
Let's talk about Gruden, 17 for the Raiders. I think this is where Lee's guy, Micah Parsons, goes. I think they would get the Mac replacement here. The Raiders are not concerned with off-the-field problems. No, I think that they don't care that he was, you know, that he dropped because of his off-the-field issues. I think he fits right in as a Raider.
So they pair him in with Crosby off the edges there.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. I think that he becomes a star for the Raiders. I think he'll be their next defensive star.
I read this morning that your buddy, Nassib.
He made Peter King's column.
Yeah, he's on the trading block.
Yeah.
Okay. Ira was all.
Why would you trade for a guy that was a free agent?
Get rid of him.
He did nothing for the Raiders. He did absolutely nothing.
He's not a fan favorite, like what Donovan Smith is here.
Yeah, I think he benefited from having some really good edge rushers around him. I want to say one more thing about Micah Parsons and the reason why I think he's the best defensive player in the draft. He's 263 pounds. He ran a 4.39 40.
Whoa.
Okay, that's crazy. He also, as far as rushing the passer, if you look at what he did, he played in 7 games. And he rushed the passer 30. He had pressure on the quarterback 36 times in 7 games. That's pretty impressive. Next is the Dolphins.
Who have they already taken on your sheet?
The Dolphins already took Kyle Pitts.
Okay.
To go with that.
And now?
Next is the
Who do they take after they grab Kyle
Pitts? I think
they
go edge. So I think they got their offensive weapon to help their quarterback out in Tua, and I think they immediately go to edge. Azeez Ojulari, the edge out of Georgia, on most boards, the second best edge rusher, 15 sacks in 2 years at Georgia, which is pretty good for college. He knows what he's doing. I think he goes right in and starts right away.
You know the Kemper philosophy. Can't have enough edge rushers.
Next up is the Washington football team. I think so. Washington signed the receiver, Curtis Samuel. They signed William Jackson at corner. So I think they go offensive line here with Elijah Vera Tucker, a terrific guard tackle prospect, but I think he's going to play guard in the NFL.
Who's their quarterback?
Their quarterback.
I don't think they're going to give Heinicke much of a chance to win that job. I don't know what's going on.
Fitzpatrick.
No, I don't think Fitzpatrick starts.
What about Heinicke?
I think Heinicke starts. I think that
he played a hell of a game against the Bucks.
Ira, what is this? The Redskins pregame show? Come on, let the man do a mock draft.
They're not the Redskins. Never mind that.
Herzog over here.
I definitely think he does start because of the showing that he put against the Bucks. So he, out of the four playoff games that we played, he played the best at quarterback.
That's absolutely right.
Right.
All right, so Washington gets a lineman.
Washington goes for offensive line, yes, because that was the problem. If you remember, we were all over him the whole game. I think that they need to get that. And they franchise Sheriff at the other guard position, so I think that Elijah Vera Tucker starts at the other position.
Just want to throw it out there, Sean. I think that Ron Rivera is trying to build a unique defense there. I think he's going to go defense.
Okay.
I think he realizes that his offense is a little bit away, but his defense might be able to be good enough to get him in the playoffs in a crappy division. I think he goes defense, but we'll see.
Okay. Well, right. If you remember, Washington's defense in the last part of the season was one of the highest-ranked defenses as far as pressures in the NFL.
Yes. Rivera's defense already got him in the playoffs, remember? Yeah. Bucks beat him.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah.
Well, seven-win playoff.
Still, play. He got there.
Bucks Steve, you might be talking about a corner, maybe. I mean, whatever.
The only reason I don't want to skip the Bears, because the rest of the NFL has, the only reason I don't is because I think they do something crazy here, and I think they draft Davis Mills, QB Stanford.
I was just going to say that. That's a Prickly Pete Prisco's saying that they're going to draft Mills.
I think the pride of Eastern Illinois,
Ryan Pace.
Yep, started 11 games in his college career. That sounds just like what they would do. So,
hey, by the way, I got to bring this up real quick. You know that Ryan Pace and Bears deservedly catch all sorts of hell for passing up on Mahomes and passing up on Deshaun Watson to draft MVP Mitch.
And Lamar Jackson.
Well, I'm not even worried about Lamar Jackson.
He's still a good starter.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
Why does John Lynch get a pass? He drafted Solomon Thomas and traded for Garoppolo instead of drafting.
He went to the Super Bowl. That's why he gets a pass. I mean, I think
if we're going to kill, if people are going to kill the Bears, and they do,
I'm just saying,
John Lynch
John Lynch has won playoff games, and he went to the Super Bowl, and I think that takes some weight off of you. You get an extra year and 2 years to develop. You know that situation.
That's a good answer, Sean.
I think Justin Fields solves all of his problems, though. I think he's good with Justin Fields. We didn't talk about his accuracy, but he is the most accurate quarterback
now,
in this draft.
Michael Lombardi says he's got all kinds of mechanic issues.
You can
coach him up, but he's not.
That's why Lombardi's not in the league anymore.
All I'm saying is you can watch him at Ohio State.
I know that.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean he doesn't. I mean, that's like Jameis.
Ohio State
outstanding at Florida State, but he had mechanical issues.
Well, he unfortunately was drafted by the Bucks. We decided to change his throwing motion. You were successful in college. Just wait to see what we can do to you and make you unsuccessful.
Sean, right? Back to your board.
Colts. The Colts are going offensive tackle at Notre Dame. He's one of my favorite players. Liam Eckenberg. I think he's fantastic. I think the Colts are going to – he's going to start right away for the Colts. I think that's a great pick.
I'm hearing some crazy stuff about moving Quentin Nelson to tackle. Why would you do that?
I think this solves it if Eichenberg will play tackle. Okay. I think that's a smokescreen. I think that would be ridiculous. We'll put Ali Marpet back to center.
I just wanted to add, as far as quarterback mechanics, Mike Glennon has fantastic mechanics. Just want to throw that out.
Just throw it out there.
From what I understand, Jeff George had the best mechanics of any quarterback in history.
Oh, boy.
Right? So, Titans the next.
And, of course, the best mechanics are right here at Service at Bill Curry Ford.
Yes.
Well done.
Right, we do have the most master mechanics in the region. So out of our 50 techs that we have in our main service, we have some of the top technicians in the southeastern United States.
You have 50 techs?
We have 50 techs just in the main
shop. That's more than Nisbet's.
Yeah, is that?
I don't have any techs. What are you talking about, Ira? That is impressive.
They are master mechanics.
Wow.
They know their field, and they've been doing it for 30 years. A lot of them, we have several techs that are over 30 and 40 years.
Wow. Sean, the Titans are run by John Robinson. That is a Jason-like disciple.
Yes. So they signed Bud Dupree in the offseason. I think that takes away them drafting a pass rusher. I think they gave him a bunch of money. I know you guys probably saw I think they go Newsom, Greg Newsom, cornerback, Northwestern. I think that he is considered by some to be the best corner in the draft, depending on
him
who
or Sortain.
To.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, him, yeah, it goes back and forth. I think the Titans go there. I think the Jets are back on the clock. After drafting their quarterback, they're going to give their quarterback a fun weapon. And I think this is where Lee and I love this player, Travis Etienne, running back Clemson. I think he fits the offense with what they're trying to do, and I think he's going to take a lot of weight off of the quarterback. Can you imagine going into the season with Tevin Coleman as you're starting, and you have no depth behind him besides maybe you should re-sign Frank Gore? Frank Gore is 1 year younger than me. So
seriously.
No, I'm just joking.
I hear he's very effective on screens too, Sean.
Yes. So I have some stats for NTM that are just phenomenal. Not only did he rush for 1,600 yards in 2019, he caught 432 yards, caught 40 balls, he caught 58 balls last year for 588 yards. The guy averaged 7.9 yards a carry, okay, for a team that's perennially playing against the best people in the country.
That's a phenomenal number.
Yeah, yeah. He's phenomenal. The Jets are going to love him. The Jets in the offseason, reason why they don't need much, they signed Carl Lawson, who I think is a very underrated pass rusher. They went after their receiver with Corey Davis to give their quarterback
so
a
that'll
guy.
Be their answer to Saquon Barkley across the, you know, playing both guys playing at the same stadium.
Yes. Okay. I think that NTM is more of a Marshall Faulk type player where he can break it for the touchdown. He can
or, that versatile.
Yeah, he's very versatile. On to the Steelers. I don't want to talk about the Steelers much, even though I like Mike Tomlin. I think the Steelers go Najee Harris here out of Alabama. I think that that guy was born to be a Steeler.
And they need a back.
And, they, you know, it's Connor left. James Connor, you know, just got signed in.
They've had a terrible running game.
And guess
Connor
what?
Connor hasn't been that good last year or two.
Yes, that is true. Najee Harris gives them the receiving back that Roethlisberger wants, and then he gives them the tough yards inside. He just does everything
well.
Now,
he's not Derrick Henry.
No. He's a Swiss Army knife. This guy just does everything well. Jacksonville back on the clock after Trevor Lawrence. They need a defensive tackle. There's only one tackle with a first-round grade, so to me this is easy. Christian Barmore out of Alabama. The guy had 12 pressures and 8 stops in the college football playoffs. That's extremely impressive from a defensive tackle. He had 11 sacks in 2 years from the defensive tackle position.
You think Urban Meyer would tolerate him taking plays off?
I don't know if it's as much as taking plays off as that he has reputation of being uncoachable. I think he thinks a lot of himself, and I think the NFL has a way of humbling these young men pretty quickly.
You would hope.
And I think that Urban Meyer got a veteran staff in Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm. Smart.
And he was very smart about how he put his staff together. I feel very comfortable that getting into that room, he's going to be fine.
Okay.
On to the next. I got the Browns taking Caleb Farley as a cornerback. They signed John Johnson, who's a safety. They signed Javion Clowney to be opposite their other edge. They signed Troy Hill at cornerback, but I still think they need another cornerback.
They're coming on, Sean. The Browns are coming on, and they played the Chiefs pretty well in that playoff game.
I'm still not sold on the quarterback. I think that he has some good
moments. He had a good season.
I can't tell if he's a guy that's just going to hold the mantle for you, or is he a difference maker?
Seems like a leader.
He does. He is a leader. Brad Johnson was a leader. All I'm saying is he, which one is he? Is he going to make the difference in 3 or 4 games a year for them? I don't know.
And they might have found themselves a hell of a coach.
I know he has a hell of an agent. I'll tell you that. That guy's made a lot of money already. good for him. On to the Ravens. The Ravens need a safety. This is a really easy one. The only thing they signed in the offseason, they signed Sammy Watkins from the Chiefs.
I don't like him at all.
Don't worry, you'll never hear from him again.
What an underachiever.
Lamar Jackson's offense and for the Baltimore Ravens.
Who's the best safety out there, Sean?
Trayvon Morig is a safety at a TCU. No safety in college football has made more plays in the ball over the past 2 seasons. He led safeties in pass breakups both in 19 and in 20. He's 6'2", 202. He ran a sub-4.4. I mean, he's prototypical safety. He's your starting safety. Getting him at 22 is a great value for Baltimore, so good for him. On to the Saints, I hope they never play football again, but we have to deal with them. I told you in the last podcast, my favorite was watching Drew Brees walk off and wave to 5 people in the stands in his last game. I'm so glad we made him leave football.
The Saints might need another weapon. I mean, they might.
I think you're going right. I see a lot of people projecting they're going defense. I think this guy is too good to pass up for Sean Payton. I think he goes Kadarius Toney out of Florida. He's been linked a little to New Orleans. I think they're having some big problems with Michael Thomas.
I do, too.
And
I think he's a problem.
I think they're moving on from Michael
Thomas. I'm looking
at
Isbitz when I say that. I think he's a problem.
I think Toney needs to be inside a dome. I think he needs to fast track. and I think that this guy is can do it. And I think he's.
You got Jameis throwing to a gator. Is there a problem there?
No. All right. No. And as far as Tony's, I love his speed and his start stop. So just watch him start stop. I mean, it's phenomenal. And they have a Kamara. So he likes these guys.
Jared like Cook's gone.
Yeah, Jared
Cook's Sanders, gone. Sanders might be gone.
He is gone. Sanders. Emmanuel Sanders is gone. So I think they go receiver here.
All right. So now we're up to pick number 29, Sage. Sean is going at a frenetic pace. This is my favorite mock draft of all time, Ira. We're
it's beautiful.
We're 37 minutes in, and we're,
are we up to 29 already?
We're getting to the
we're up to the Packers
to the star of the show here with the Buccaneers. I'm excited. I hope everybody's appreciating Sean's fantastic, intense looks here. I'm fired up, Sean. All right, number 29, we got Green Bay. What are they doing?
Okay, so the Packers are going wide receiver, which is what they should have done last year.
A little help for Donald Driver.
Bateman's still on the board at this point in this draft. So Rashad Bateman's still there. Some have considered him the second to best receiver.
The Chase.
I personally think the Alabama boys and then and Jamar Chase are better. But Bateman is consistently, he has the size. He fits the mold. He ran a 4.39 40. He's got good size. As far as catching the ball, he was ranked number one in catch on targets.
Well, Adams gets all the attention. So if this guy's anywhere decent, he's going to catch the
ball. I think the Packers get some help. I think Aaron Rodgers made his point last year.
He did
year.
Make his point. Yes, he did.
The Bills are next. I think
they don't need much. They don't need much. That's a strong team.
Yes,
they
are.
Need a running back. They need a running back.
You think the Bills need a running back?
I think the Bills need a running back. Yes, I do. What do you got?
I have them taking an edge. I think they go edge. I think they go edge here, and I think
all right.
I think that Jalen Phillips finally comes off the board from Miami. And I think that we talked about him having concussion issues, and I think that he is by far the best pass rusher in this draft. I think he is phenomenal. If you watch him on tape, he's a monster.
What kind of injuries?
Well, he got. You're going to laugh. I'm sure he doesn't think it's funny, but he got hit with a scooter when he was in college, and
I thought he was riding his scooter, and he got drilled on the scooter. I thought
the way I read it was he was not on the scooter and he got hit with a scooter. That's how I have it.
And
that's
what
how
happened?
I read it.
What happened?
He got a concussion from the accident,
and he broke his wrist. I think
yes,
he had
he
a couple
did.
Of wrist surgeries. So
he did
not chronic injuries. Ira, just some bad luck.
And it was enough to make him quit football. You know, trying to recover from those injuries and
concussions.
He,
right?
He did get one concussion playing football,
and that knocked him out for a year.
Yes, and it knocked. Well, it was. There's other injuries. He had two other surgeries.
Yeah, I understand
from the accident.
Yeah.
But he's value at this point in the draft, right?
I think he's a top five pick without the concussions. I think he's a can't miss edge rusher. I think the Bills won't let him get to the Bucs.
What do you think about this year? Last couple of days has been all. Everybody and their brother has this information that with teams struggling to get medical information because there was no combine.
Yes.
That guy's medical issues, like Phillips,
I think it's
going to drop
him.
Like a rock.
I think it benefits him.
Benefits?
I think you're going to have some guys that are going to try to sell this guy because they don't have the red flag.
Interesting.
I think it works opposite. If I really want a guy, I'm gonna sit there and say, we don't have that information. This is what I think. This is what we concur is that he's fine. I think you're going to find that. I think in all draft boards, you're going to fall in love with players. And I think you're going to do whatever it takes. I mean, somebody talked themselves into getting Daquan Bowers in the second round when every other NFL team that had good
took him off the board.
That's
another former Buck pick that you drop into this
Real
draft.
Real quick, Jason Light. Let's hypothetically. I'm not saying the Bucks are going to do this. You're Jason Light.
Yes.
Phillips is on the board.
At 32?
Yeah, hypothetically. For example, Jason Light picks this guy, and Brian Glazer says, what about the medical? We think it's going to be okay. Turns out he can't finish the first season. He's damaged goods.
He's basically a second-round pick at
32. Then Brian Glazer goes up to Light. I thought you said you were good on the medical.
Well, he's the 32nd pick. I don't think they can kill Light.
I think that the way the Bucks have been drafting, we've drafted in the top 10 every single year, and I think that if picking him in the top 10 would be kind of crazy.
This ain't Vernon Hargraves.
We're the Super Bowl champions. We're the Super Bowl champions. We can pick a guy. If you look right here, 9 sacks and 36 pressures in 6 games.
I think that's where Jason Light realizes he won the Super Bowl, and he gets in Glazer's face, and he said, look, Glazer, I won you the damn Super Bowl. Shut up.
Yes.
Right, Ira?
I got Mike Edwards to play, okay? So, who, by the way, I told you that I wanted to apologize because I was really hard on Mike Edwards his rookie year. I didn't think he played well.
Todd Bowles likes
him. If he's listening, I want him to understand that the improvement from 1 to 2, he took such a leap, and I was very proud of the play that he did to help us bring a Super Bowl champion. So if you run into him, tell him that he has a fan in me. I was not happy with his rookie year, but very happy with his second year.
Rather than apologizing for honest critique, give him props for improving.
He improved greatly.
Never apologize for honest critique.
Okay.
Never.
All right. I might have been too hard on him when I said he shouldn't be playing football.
Now, is it fair to say that Mike Edwards has free oil changes for life here at Bill Curry Ford?
Wait a minute. No, let's not get ahead. So is Baltimore back on the board now?
Baltimore is back on the board. They traded with your Chiefs for Orlando Brown.
Excellent deal for the Chiefs.
It was. And Baltimore comes right back, and they take Tevin Jenkins off.
Who'd they get the first time, Sean?
The safety.
The safety.
Yeah, Trayvon Morgan.
So now they get who?
They go back to tackle, and they grab the tackle out of Oklahoma State. So they're going to replace Orlando Brown at a cheaper price. They got
him
for
5 years.
And
they got Ronnie Stanley, right?
Yes, correct. Okay. So this guy's going to play right tackle. And you know what fits Baltimore's running style? This guy is a running.
Very physical.
He's a physical running tackle. So
all right.
Fits it.
We got to number 32.
Drum roll, Steve. Drum roll.
Draft guru Sean Sullivan, lifetime Bucks fan.
Now, wait a minute. At this point, Steve, we say, who should they take and who will they take?
Now, this draft is about who will they take. Sean has made this very clear all through this mock draft. This is who he thinks they're going to take.
Well, Sean may not agree with what he thinks Light's going to do.
Well, he can give us his regular pick.
All right.
This is who he thinks
they'll
take.
What do you got for the Bucks,
and then
Sean?
He'll
do you want the best available player on the board still, or do you want me to tell you who I think they're going
to
pick?
Well, I want you to tell us, to keep the theme of the mock draft, you tell us who you think they're going to pick, and then tell us who you want to pick.
Okay. So, well, I think it's one and the same, right? So I think we go defense.
You're making DeKemper very happy here.
Yes, I think we address the pass rusher. I believe that if something happens to Shaq Barrett or Pierre Paul this year, there's nothing behind him. We have Cam Gill behind him.
I think I know where you're going, and you're going to shock me. But keep going.
No, I think between we have a fourth-round draft pick out of Iowa, and then we have Cam Gill. Jason Light has to go pass rusher. I finally get the pass rusher that we've been asking for. But again, we had the second best edge.
That's 48 damn sacks, though, by the way.
Yeah, I know. I mean, what do I know? I'm a GM of a car store, right?
All right, so who is it?
So, Joe Tryon. So, okay. Joe Tryon is the edge out of Washington. Woo! I absolutely love this guy. I know that he goes – so, with edges, it's very simple. You have some guys that say, this guy's a third-round pick, this guy's a first-round pick, this guy is a beast. Let me just read a couple of things about Joe Tryon. So – the three words that everyone says he does, he attacks, right? So very similar to what Todd Bowles does from the start of the game. He wants to go right through the linemen. He pushes them. He's a beast. He's very physical. He's the best bull rusher in the draft. He's going to collapse the pocket. He has ideal size for him. He doesn't have all the pass rushing moves, but no one does coming out of college, right? They're going to get some coaching. Every single time you watch him on tape, he's violent. At no point does he softly lay anybody down. Does he take a play off?
I don't want another Noah Spence coming to one place over here.
He plays the game with reckless abandon. He's 6'5". He's 260. He looks like a Greek god when you see the guy. The guy looks like he's intimidating just from a physical standpoint. I think you put this guy behind. He's going to get snaps behind Pierre Paul. He's going to get snaps behind Shaq Barrett. I think you put him out there. He's designed for a 3-4. Which is the only reason why I picked him over some of the other guys we're going to talk about, was just because of the fit in Todd Bowles' defense.
So what I'm asking you, and I know this is very important to some people, this is why I'm bringing it up. I don't care, but this really riles people. So what you're saying is Joe Tryon will not help a quarterback up or apologize to him?
He will not.
Does he remind you of the Davenport kid at all that the Saints drafted?
No, Davenport came from a Division II school where I told you he
didn't. But he had the numbers.
But he wasn't physical.
Okay.
Listen, when you watch Joe Tryon, he gets you fired up. If your blood's not going watching this guy play, he tries to take everybody's head off. I love that. And you know what? When you have a guy like this coming off the edge and that tackle knows that he's going to push them all the way back and collapse that pocket, worst case scenario, if he doesn't get the sack, he collapsed the pocket. We won the Super Bowl because Patrick Mahomes couldn't stand and throw the ball. We collapsed the pocket every single time. When Barrett and Pierre weren't getting to him, they were collapsing the pocket. I love this pick. So I want to talk about who else is on the board.
Can he be an Adrian Claiborne who came in here, got 7 sacks as a rookie? Can he be that guy?
A lot of
bull rushes?
As far as Adrian Claiborne, we drafted a one-armed defensive end.
But he's lasted 10 years, Sean. He does last.
Because of his heart, Ira. I'm just the guy.
He's got a motor.
Got a motor and a heart that non-stops, and he had an injury that he has to deal with, and he played through it. So if you're going to talk about a spirit award, I'll give it to Claiborne. Okay, but as far as I've got to draft a guy that can play the left or right side who doesn't have any issues, and that's not a knock on Claiborne. He had a 6-sack
game. He's not slippery like Shaq.
Let's just say he had 8 sacks in a year, but 6 came in one game. Okay,
yes. So yes. Sean, right. He's not slippery, this guy.
He's not slippery. He's gonna beat you to death. He's like Sue if Sue was an edge rusher. He is violent. He's mean. I don't want a finesse edge rusher. Shaq Barrett does not rush with finesse. Neither does Pierre
Sean,
Paul.
Sean, what was your takeaway of, you know, since I know you've watched the Super Bowl 16 times?
At least.
What is your takeaway as going forward? We'll take a short little detour here of Vita Vea lining up on the edge more, you know, a reasonable handful of times in a big, big game.
Yeah, I think it's scary for the opposing team. I think imagine you're waiting on a guy that's going to try to outrun you to the quarterback, or you're going to try to push him on the outside. Vea's just coming through you. And I think that sets a whole different mindset. And I think what I saw with Vea is they were specifically putting him against tackles that can't hold up against a bull rush. And I think that when you watch that, he literally would engage and push that guy, collapse the pocket. I thought it was brilliant from Todd Bowles. I thought it was a terrific design defense. I like the fact that they moved Pierre Paul in and out as well. You know, they put him at tackle and at end. Will Golston plays both positions, by the way, who had an outstanding season that no one talks about. Who reminds me of Tampa. He's just a blue-collar guy that gets in there and does his job.
Good in the 3-4.
And he's good in the 3-4. Steve mentioned that. We always draft players that don't fit our system. We've done a very good job under Jason Light of drafting guys that fit what our defense, what Todd Bowles wants to do. And I think this is another guy. Joe Tryon comes in, and he fits right into the 3-4.
Ira, do you like this Joe Tryon pick?
I absolutely like it. I know Lee is salivating over it because he's an edge rusher, and he's violent.
Here was only, and I'm not saying I wouldn't take Tryon. My philosophy on the draft this year, a little bit different. Have the Bucs ever been in this position before? Maybe when Gruden came.
Few teams have ever been in this position.
That's what I'm saying. So obviously when they're saying they're going for two, that's not hyperbole. They're going for two. Every waking moment, Jason Light, Bruce Arians, Todd Bowles, Byron Leftwich are awake. Every waking moment from now to the end of the season should be, how do we win the Super Bowl? Generally speaking, there's always exceptions. Generally, a pass rusher doesn't have much of an impact as a rookie. That's the only thing I'm hesitant about. I want the Bucs draft at 32. Whatever position they figure, a guy can get the most snaps. Guy can have the most impact to help this team win a Super Bowl.
Lee, you're used to saying that because the coaching staffs weren't very good around here, Sean. And now this is one hell of a coaching staff.
To me,
could be different.
It's like you should not at all worry about 2022, 23, 24. That shouldn't even be on anyone's mind.
Well, good.
The only thing they should be worried about is February.
I agree with
February.
You, Lee. I just want to let you know I made this pick based upon this year.
Right.
What is best for the Bucs this year is to get a run stopper, a guy that can get 6 to 8 sacks, I think, in his rookie year. You know, if he got 6 or 7 sacks, that's a tremendous rookie year.
Yeah, like Brian Burns got. Your guy got seven and a half rookie year.
Excellent rookie year. And get this. What was the main reason why we won the Super Bowl? What everyone talks about is the depth.
Tom Brady.
Didn't we talk? Well, Tom Brady, of course. On defense. I'm just talking about defense. Yeah, Tom Brady is Tom Brady. So what I was saying, everyone talked about the freshness of the Bucs defense, how we didn't have to have guys on the field for the whole game, that we could substitute. Here's a guy that can come on and get 20 snaps a game and give Pierre Paul's knees some rest, you know, and rest Shaq Barrett so he's good for the fourth quarter. So he's a guy that instantly comes in, starts, you know, in those 20 to 30 snaps, takes those snaps, keeps our defense fresh, and then we have a guy that if Pierre Paul doesn't re-sign in the offseason, it comes right into next year and starts.
That's a fair point you made about JPP's knee. I was thinking very similar to what you're thinking. Save guys snaps. And I was thinking, you turned me on to this guy. Nick Bolton would come in.
I think he would
save Lavonte David some snaps.
He would.
He's no longer a spring chicken.
He would.
And I really believe all these reserves got so many snaps. There was some spreadsheeter for BSPN that had just like a phenomenal amount of snaps the defensive reserves had. I really believe, it's not a coincidence that the Bucs played hellacious defense the last three games, concluding with the Super Bowl win.
Even a Ross Cockrell, you throw him in the mix.
I like Ross Cockrell. Yeah, he played well. Yeah. I mean, the whole team played well. I wanted to go over just a couple of guys that were still on the board. So,
well, before you do that, Sean, I want to remind everybody that you will be at our Joe Bucs fan draft party at Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater on Thursday, 49th Street, just south of Ulmerton Road. Sean, you have any idea what time you're going to get there to sit at your VIP table?
What time do you want me there? Ask LJ if I get in at 5 a.m. This is what I live for. I will love talking football. I'll probably be taking notes during the draft, you know, on my stuff. I'll bring my laptop and set it up. But I will tell you that it's like a Christmas morning for me.
I got you.
I love this.
You can fit.
So I'm looking forward to it.
And there's no Ford Escort questions on draft night. We got it.
No Bronco questions. No, hey, you know, what engine comes in this car, please?
And we hear you might have a special guest dining with you.
There is a special guest coming. Yes.
Nice. Oh. Yeah, very special guest. We'll leave it at that. We'll keep it.
Wait a minute. I am not privy to the special guest.
You're not privy, Ira. You're not privy.
All right.
Sage, we'll just say a big name Buccaneer is going to be joining Sean, and we'll leave it at that. It's not what the draft party's about. But if you're there, good chance you'll see him, maybe get a chance to talk to him. All right, Sean, now we're excited to have you out at the draft party. A lot of fun, and you've been to our draft parties before. It's just fans who love football.
Just fans who
hanging out all night, eating and drinking and talking about the draft. And
we got deprived last year because we had to cancel it. So we're looking forward to it.
We got a crap load of prizes, as we heard earlier. Our great friends, Florida's Elite Restoration, they $200-$300 gift cards, Ira.
Nice.
You'll like this little story. Josh realized he couldn't order $250 gift cards, so he went up to $300. So
beautiful.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool. All right. Well, what else you got? You got a few guys, Sean,
I just want
on
to go
the
over
bubble, shall we say?
A few guys that I had to pick from, right? So depending on the draft
philosophy. So let's say Tryon wasn't available at
right.
that spot.
So Gregory Rousseau from Miami, it's a guy, prototypical and good size. He's definitely a true edge. He's more of a 4-3 guy, which is one of the reasons why. And, you know, he's 6'7", 266.
Wow.
He needs to work on his some of his pass rushing moves just like the rest. But he's had some off-the-field deal going on, you know, and he also didn't play last year, you know.
So he's not a tackle. He's not a defensive tackle.
No,
he's an edge.
He's definitely an edge. And some draft boards have him going in the middle of the first round. Some of them have him falling out. Just depends on were there any red flags on this guy. And from what I understand, I hope he's not a knucklehead. I hope that he has a terrific career.
Anybody besides an edge rusher?
Yeah, so Eric Stokes is still on there, the cornerback from Georgia. And I know that you brought up the fact that the Bucs might want to go corner.
They might.
Right. So here's a guy that could come in and play, again, like what Lee just and I talked about.
And special teams immediately.
Yeah, so Stokes can come in, take up 20, 30 snaps on defense, you know, and that's another possibility. The Levi Onwuzukoriki, the interior defensive lineman for Washington, I still think it's too high for him. I think he's going to be a second to third round pick. You have a tackle, Samuel Cosmi, the guy from Texas that people have talked about. You know, that could be there. I personally like Alex from Alabama, Leatherwood. I talked to you about the fact that I thought because he could play guard and tackle. If we were going to go depth, I like that pick. Sean,
do you think any of the Buck backup defensive tackles, those two guys, McClendon and
Nunez?
You think either of them could move in for Sue if they move on from Sue a year from now? Would you be confident in that?
It just depends on what kind of leap Nunez Roches makes. He might make that leap. He's improved every year that he's been in there, but I doubt it, just like McClendon, and I think they're going to go defensive tackle next year.
Okay.
This is just not a good draft for it. Then you have the edge out of Penn State, Jason Owe, which, you know, Lee and I have talked about the guy that had no sacks, the guy that ran a 4-3 on the edge.
You mean No Way Owe?
No Way Owe, right. I'm thinking to myself, with that speed and 265 pounds, how could you not run into the court? How do you not just by mistake hit the guy?
Can I quote the late, great Joel Bushbaum?
Please.
Looks like Tarzan, plays like Jane.
Carlos Basham Jr., he'll still be there at a Wake Forest, but again, he's a 4-3 guy. He's not going to come right in and fit into our 3-4 defense. Another guy, though, when you watch his tape, I love the way that the guy plays. It was hard for me to choose, but it just came down to scheme fit between those two guys. Basham is
Sean,
a tremendous
name.
Player.
I got a name, Sean. You're tell me it's crazy. Tell me it can't happen.
Please. Is it
you're Kyle Trask?
No. We're not drafting a quarterback.
Do you like him?
I do like him. Yeah, I like him a lot. I like several quarterbacks that are in this draft, but we have Tom Brady. I'm not ever drafting a quarterback with Tom Brady on my team. I don't care.
Okay.
Well, Blaine Gabbert and Ryan Griffin can sit behind him and learn and hold his water. You know, like hold my beer. I'm going to go.
So you'll worry about the succession plan later
after my four Super Bowls.
Quick time for a theoretical question here, Ira. Is it possible, gentlemen? Is it possible that Team Glazer sat down, Light, and Bruce Arians and said, "Look, we'll do whatever the hell we got to do with these books, and we'll bring back every damn player if you draft us a quarterback because we just want to build for the future. We know how important it is."
I just don't think it's a possibility.
I understand what you're saying, Steve. I don't think that conversation took place.
Yeah. I think they need to drug test one buck place if that was said.
Brady can't last forever, Sean. He can't.
Well, tell him that. So as he's
Good
holding
answer.
Another
Good
Super
answer.
Bowl at the end of this Good year, answer. Tell him that. Just one more guy. Was Joseph O.C. That's the Texas linebacker edge that a lot of guys have going in the first round. The guy's all over the ball. He's a Devin White of this year's draft. If he falls to 32, I think out of all the guys I just talked about, Joseph Asai could be the pick out of Texas because he can do so many different things.
Nobody hears it.
Nobody can hear this.
Nobody can hear it.
Ira's got, what is that?
It's it's a little holiday cheer.
Ira's got a Christmas ringtone.
It sounded like an ice cream truck to me.
That's what I was thinking.
My lobster's coming out, gentlemen.
Yes. All right, Ira. Well, this has been one hell of a fun podcast. Our annual tradition with Sean Sullivan, GM of Bill Curry
you
Ford.
You did some research this year, Mr. Sullivan.
BillCurryFord.com. Oozing with confidence this year, Sean. Oozing
with confidence.
It's your podcast experience
that's
going on. It's
amazing that the Bucks are world champions, and then as a general manager, I'm on the precipice of being the top at my profession with Bill Curry Ford's new construction project. It's amazing.
Life is good.
It's just amazing that I'm just so soon to getting everything I've ever wanted in my life, and it's like you're waiting for that bomb to drop, and it just never comes, so I can't be happier.
And I think part of it is Ira wearing the new Bill Curry Ford gear.
It's right here.
All over town. Pretty sharp.
He does look sharp.
It looks like he's lost 10 pounds. He's only lost 5.
Absolutely. And the big news of the day is that Jason Light's wife is talking to me. That you can't get past that.
All right. Well, we're fired up. Thanks a lot, Sean.
We won't elaborate.
Thanks a lot, Sean. Of course, you're here for everybody all the time.
It's my honor to be here.
I told
you it's a privilege to be on Joe Buck's Fan, and I appreciate it every
time.
And,
Sean, what's the date for the construction?
Sean? We start September 17th. We start with phase one. So when this is done, I can't wait to go over it and have everybody come and see the best, biggest dealership in the entire United States. We're this close. It'll be... it's about 18 months of construction time.
Jerry's World of Dealerships is what we're
looking
at.
It's going to be so much fun to see the difference.
It was a significant investment, Sean.
Can we get
the
a hard hat picture?
A
can we get Ira
yes.
in a hard hat?
You want me digging, digging that first dirt?
Yes.
We need Ira with a shovel. All right, Sean, get out of here, and
we
will
see
you. Maybe
we can find Doug Williams' deal. Do you remember when Doug Williams, when he left, and we had the curse of Doug Williams,
yes.
and he couldn't win,
yep.
and
yep.
they said somewhere that a black magic had been buried somewhere in Tampa? I said, well, maybe I'll find it.
Maybe. That would be something, huh? That would be something. All right, we will see Sean at the draft party Thursday. Our thanks to Bill Curry Ford. As always, Sage, do you want to get the good people of Tampa out of here on some sort of word of wisdom, or you just want
well,
your
Well, I just want to say, every time I come to Sean's showroom, I feel elated because... their service is next to none. Nobody's better. The inventory, he's going great guns.
I believe the term is second to none, next to none.
I kind of like the way he said it.
Way I said it. So,
yes.
You know, he's the Devin White of dealers because he closes.
Yes.
Get out of here, Steve. My lobster's coming out.